Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does a teacher of Kundalini Yoga at four universities, who also ran a yoga ashram, become a follower of Jesus Christ? This is the story of Mike Shreve, a powerful story of the love of God and the miracle-working power of Jesus Christ. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to lead you, dear friend, closer and closer to the Lord Jesus, to the one who loves you so much, dear friend, that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. Today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart of Mike Shreve, is here to touch your heart as well, and to send the indwelling Holy Spirit to live inside and to dwell in you, even as he's done in the life of Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike Shreve is the author of the book, In Search of the True Light, Who Am I? Dynamic Declarations of Who You Are in Christ, and 65 Promises from God for Your Child. Pastor Mike and his wife Elizabeth founded Shreve Ministries. They're also pastors of The Sanctuary, a church in Cleveland, Tennessee. Mike, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation, Danny. I am looking forward to our conversation.
Where did you grow up?
Well, I was raised all over the country and actually outside of the country as well. We were a military family. My father was a commander in the Navy. And so I lived in California, Florida, Virginia, Rhode Island, and on the island of Cuba.
Hmm. Wow.
What was the cause of all the travel?
Well, of course, in the Navy, they moved him to a different location every 3 years. But it was all good because it gave me a lot of experience in forging new friendships, learning different aspects of culture. And so God uses all the experiences of our lives to prepare us for the future, and I'm sure that was part of it.
Who influenced you most, Mike, in your growing up years?
Who influenced me the most?
Yes.
That would be a hard question to answer because the influence, I think, is the strongest was a very negative influence. When I was a teenager, I became a rock musician, and the popular musicians of the day were the Beatles. Mm-hmm. And I believe that my journey into darkness started with rock music and finally led me to drugs, to marijuana and heavier drugs like LSD. And eventually, at the age of 19, I had, unfortunately, not something I anticipated, but I had a near-death experience because of some drugs that I took. And I felt my soul leaving my body and swiftly going through this tunnel of darkness that was throbbing. And I knew it was the end of my journey, the end of my life, and I knew I was also not prepared for the other side. I had no idea what was going to happen. It was a frightening experience. It was a terrifying experience. But once again, it was good because it awakened me to the reality that I was throwing away my life on things that didn't matter. And from that point forward, I began searching after truth and seeking God.
Well, take us back. Take us back to that part of your life journey when you began to seek the truth or seek God. Let's pause a little bit there. Let's, before we go on to that, take us further on what life was like prior to your conversion to Christianity in 1970.
Well, prior to my search for God, life was just very self-centered. And I was focused on doing anything that seemed to gratify the lower side of my nature. And like so many others, I pursued anything that was forbidden, or not anything. There were many areas I never delved into, but still, I was lost. I was out there. I was under the demonic influence that was bent on destroying me and not realizing it. But then, as a college student, after I had that near-death experience, I decided I was going to wipe the slate clean. And instead of going back to the church I was raised in, I was brought up a Roman Catholic. And I met a lot of wonderful people, gentle people, kind people, humble people in the Catholic Church. The priests that I served under as an altar boy were all godly men and good men, but no one ever shared with me the experience of being born again. And no one told me I could have a personal relationship with Jesus. So in my mind, I assigned Catholicism to just a system of religious thought with ceremony and tradition attached to it. But I wanted something beyond that. I wanted a supernatural reality. And in my freshman year at Florida State University, I became acquainted with an Indian guru. Now, at the time, if you remember, I said the Beatles had been a very strong influence in my life. Well, they began studying under Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, Transcendental Meditation. And I met a different guru. His name was Yogi Bhajan, and he was head of a group called Kundalini Yoga. And I began studying his methods of meditation and yoga and began devoting more and more and more time to it. Hours turned into almost entire days where I would be in solitude and studying the Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita, which are Hindu scriptures, and meditating and chanting mantras and doing yoga that was all geared toward this elusive goal of achieving God consciousness. And, of course, in Eastern religions, that means something quite different than what a Westerner or a person acquainted with Western religions would interpret it to be. When I say God consciousness, someone of a Christian worldview would automatically relate that to the idea of being consciously aware of the presence of God, which is a good thing, or consciously aware of the reality of God. But in Eastern religions, or in many Eastern religions, the whole concept of God consciousness is coming to the place where you are consciously aware that you are God. And that, of course, is the absolute antithesis of the truth. It's not correct. It's not right. And that was the goal I was seeking after.
Mm-hmm. Take us further. What happened? How far along did you go in your pursuit to, obviously, you came to a point where you realize, you know, your perspective changed completely. But what was that process like when you came to the understanding of this ultimate reality that you found?
Well, I eventually dropped out of college, Danny, and began pursuing the study of yoga full time. Every morning we got up. By the way, I started the yoga ashram also, which is a commune where people live together and study yoga on a more intense level. And I began teaching yoga at four universities in Florida, University of South Florida, the University of Tampa, a college called New College down in Sarasota, Florida, and Florida Presbyterian, which is not far from there. And I had about 300 students who considered me their guru. Every day was very disciplined. We would get up at 3:30 in the morning and start the day with 2 or 3 hours of meditation and mantra chanting and go from there. And my whole day was regimented until about 5:30 in the afternoon. And after that, I would teach at the various universities in the area. This went on for months and months and months. And I had out-of-body experiences where I had the impression of my soul leaving my body one time. I had the impression of my soul entering into this brilliant and what felt like infinite white light that now I recognize as having been a delusional experience, or it was not a true experience of God. It was a counterfeit experience. It was provided to me because of certain spiritual forces I came in contact with. But let me back up to the day of to the day of my salvation, or the day when I finally decided to open my heart up to the possibility that maybe I was wrong and maybe Christianity was the correct path. The Tampa Tribune newspaper did a big article on me. It was about a quarter of a page, third of a page article in the newspaper talking about how I was teaching yoga at 4 universities in the area. And I thought it would increase my class attendance. Little did I know it would alert a prayer group in town to start praying for me. And they cut that article out of their newspaper, pinned it to their prayer board, and assigned somebody to be fasting and praying for me every hour of every day. I was on this 24-hour prayer chain. So I'm being soaked with intercession. And God doesn't do anything in this realm except he does it in response to prayer. And during that time when these precious people were praying for me, I received a letter from an old friend of mine who had also dropped out of college to study under a guru. And he told me how he had walked into church and heard an audible voice say, "Jesus is the only way." And he had experienced being born again, which was a term I was unfamiliar with at the time. And he explained that the Spirit of God came into him from without. And that was a mystery to me, because in Eastern religions, we were taught that God is already inside of everyone. So I had this letter influencing me. I had these people praying for me. And one day I decided that maybe I had misinterpreted the teachings of Jesus. And so I spent all day long, instead of doing my normal yoga, I said, "Jesus, I dedicate this day to you. I'm not going to read any other scripture except the Bible, and I'm not going to pray using any other method except praying to you." And so that's what I did all day long. I'd read the Gospel of John and pray to Jesus for 20 or 30 minutes. And then I'd read the Gospel of Matthew and pray to the Lord for 20 or 30 minutes. And I was praying that he would manifest himself supernaturally to me, where I would know without a doubt that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father but by him, as my friend had asserted in his letter. So anyway, all day long I prayed. Nothing happened. I was expecting a vision, an audible voice, but nothing supernatural took place. And that afternoon I was hitchhiking to go teach at University of South Florida. And this is where it gets intense, Danny. About 2 miles away, one of the members of the prayer group that had been praying for me was walking in a laundromat with an armful of dirty clothes. And God spoke to him and said, "Get back in your vehicle and start driving." He thought it was kind of crazy that God did not want him to wash his dirty clothes. But thankfully, he was obedient, and he got back in his van and started driving, not knowing that the person he'd been praying for almost a month was 2 miles down the road. and I was hitchhiking to go teach at University of South Florida. He followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He made two or three definite turns and saw me hitchhiking. He told me he never picked up hitchhikers. It was a cardinal rule in his life, but felt strangely and overwhelmingly compelled. And so he pulled the van over, and I opened the door. And when I opened the door, I looked in, and my heart started leaping inside of me because I saw on the ceiling a picture of Jesus. He had taped it there, and I knew this was my answer. I got in his van, and a few minutes later, he asked the question. He said, may I ask you a question, friend? I said, yes. He said, have you ever experienced Jesus coming into your heart? And I said, no, but when can I? And he looked at me with quite a surprised look because he didn't expect me to respond so quickly in such a positive way. And within 10 or 15 minutes, we were kneeling down in the back of his van. I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. I experienced the reality of God. God's presence came into me. I knew I finally had the truth. And that week, I went back to all of my yoga classes, dismissed them, canceled them, said we will discontinue them from this point forward. I shut down my yoga ashram. My life was completely, totally changed. And all because God pursued my soul. And I'm so eternally grateful.
Well, you're listening to Mike Shreve, a captivating story of how God reached out to him and how he searched for God. And there's a scripture that says, when you seek me, you shall find me, when you search for me with all your heart. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from Pastor Mike Shreve. He is the founder of a ministry, ShreveMinistries.org. That's how you can find out more about his ministry. He's an author. He's a speaker. He's a teacher. Now he's teaching the Word of God. He's proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's preached the gospel all over the world. And the Lord is using him today through his books and his speaking and radio ministries to reach many people right in their hearts, just like he's doing with us today. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Mike Treve is the founder of Deeper Revelation Books. In addition to Shreve Ministries, Deeper Revelation Books is a publishing company. He's been interviewed on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, the 700 Club, and more. ShreveMinistries.org, that's how you can find out more about Mike Treve. ShreveMinistries.org. And if you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, look, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift. It's a gift to you at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listen, be encouraged by it. But of course, as I typically say, share it with a family member or friend. Mike, how vital, as you speak about your conversion experience in a captivating series of events. Today, how vital is the revelation of our spiritual identity as sons and daughters of God?
Well, the three big questions that everyone asks is, who am I, number one, why am I here, number two, and where am I going, number three. And when you are born again, which is what happened to me that day I received Jesus into my heart, you receive a brand new identity. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And once you become this new, born-again child of the Almighty God, you have a brand new identity. And it brings fulfillment into your life. It brings destiny into your life. It brings purpose into your life. And I have found that quite often, God uses your past to prepare you for your future. And I know that my past experience in Eastern religions was very much of an instructional time in my life, because I have been able to reach thousands of people who are involved in New Age spirituality, who are involved in Eastern religions. And I never would have had that capability to the degree I have if I had not walked through that experience myself. And so part of who we are in Christ is the sum of all the things that God has done in our life to create our particular identity in Him. You know, one thing I would like to mention, Danny, is that long after I found the Lord, I started searching in Christian bookstores for suitable books that I could give to someone who was of a New Age mindset or someone who embraced Hinduism as I did for a season. And all of the Christian books I found were written by Christians for Christians with terminology that only Christians would respond to. And it troubled me. And that's why I wrote the book In Search of the True Light. That compares over 20 religions, but I approach the whole idea of the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ with a very loving presentation of the gospel. I do believe in the exclusivity of the Lord Jesus, that He is the only way, but I also believe there are millions and millions of people who sincerely love God, who are striving to find God through other worldviews, and they don't need to be approached with condemnation. They need to be approached with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will guide them and He will lead them. And one thing I felt like was very important for me to mention was that right after I found the Lord, I was in this quandary of mind. I was trying to figure out what I had believed that was right, what I had believed that was wrong, how to sift through all of these doctrines and ideas and concepts. And a statement came back to me that the guru I studied under 47 years ago had said. And actually, that very statement helped to unravel many of the things he taught that I had accepted at that point in my life. He said that Jesus Christ was an avatar. And because he was an avatar, he could only speak the truth. Well, the word avatar, of course, it has a different connotation now because of the movie. But the word avatar in Hinduism actually means a manifestation of God on the earth. And in Hinduism, it is taught that there have been many avatars. And different branches of Hinduism teach different numbers of avatars that have visited the earth, some very numerous. But as a Christian, I believe that Jesus was the only incarnation of God ever to come into this world. And but the guru I studied under said because Jesus was an avatar, he could only speak the truth. Well, I thought to myself, well, then I need to compare what Jesus taught with what I used to believe as a yoga teacher. And at the time, as I mentioned, I was having a real mental struggle over what to accept and what to reject of my former belief system. And I started comparing what Jesus taught with what the guru I studied under taught. And so much of what he taught went directly contrary to what Jesus taught. And if his statement was true, if Jesus was an avatar and all he could teach was truth, why was there this conflict? Let me give you just one or two examples. I'd love to hear a response from you. For instance, the guru I studied under taught that Jesus' death on the cross was just the tragic death of a good man that went to an extreme degree of suffering to fulfill his purpose in this world. But he said that his death had no atoning qualities. It could not bring forgiveness for sin to any individual. Well, when I compared that to what Jesus taught, at the Last Supper, Jesus passed the cup among his disciples as he instituted the communion ritual, and he said, "This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." He did not say that it was for an example of obedience to teach us how far we should go in obeying the will of God for our lives, which is all that the guru I had studied under said it was. That he reduced it to just an example of a willingness to sacrifice your life for what you believe in. But Jesus said it was for the remission of sins. So I knew that I had to go with what Jesus taught concerning that issue.
Mike,
another major difference. Huge.
Hey, Mike. Mike, we're going to take a quick break. Mike, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll carry further with what you're explaining. I'm very interested to hear more, and I'm sure our listeners are eager to hear. It's not often the case where you have an opportunity to hear a former guru, as Mike Shreve used to be, but now converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus, and able to articulate a comparison of the teachings. He's written the book In Search of True Light, where he compares over 20 religions. He gives a clear perspective of the exclusivity of Jesus. He'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Namelessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Mike Treve is the author of the book In Search of True Light, where he compares over 20 religions. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host. And we're grateful that you're with us today. Thanks for joining us. We have a unique opportunity to hear from Mike as he shares. Well, before our break, he was talking to us about a moment where his guru had spoken about Jesus, and he used the word avatar. Some of you might hear of it from the context of the movie that came out a few years ago. But Mike explains it from a Hindu perspective about Jesus. But then in light of that, Mike experienced a comparison. He did a comparison of what Jesus said of himself and what the Jesus, the avatar, so to speak, as the guru had explained. But Mike, when we go into this, I want to frame it in this question, and you can sort of massage around so that we can, you know, blend what we talked about in the last segment to this segment. With so many religions, one, maybe even someone listening today, might make a religious leap into thinking that all religions lead to the same God. What's your perspective? You mentioned the exclusivity of Jesus, but take us from there.
Well, that is such a powerful question, and I'm so glad you brought it up, Danny. Actually, that's a very simple statement, but it has two primary and completely opposite interpretations. The statement, there is only one God. When a yoga advocate or a Hindu says there is only one God, they are referring to the interpretation that God is the impersonal life that flows through all of creation, that the life in a tree, the life in a cat or a dog, the life in every human being, the human life of every human being, that all of that is God. And because they interpret the life of natural creation as divine life, it reduces God to the status of just being an impersonal cosmic life force. Not something you pray to, but something that supposedly dwells inside of every human being. But when a Christian believer, a Bible believer, says there is only one God, we are talking about an exclusive view. The New Age or the Hindu view that there is only one God is an all-inclusive view. It's saying that, for instance, in Hinduism, they teach that all of these different gods that are worshipped, like Krishna or Allah or Jesus, they would include Jesus in there, that all of those deities sprang out of or emanated from or were emanated from this cosmic force that fills all things. And so their idea is that at the base of all these millions and millions of deities, and in Hinduism there's 330 million gods and goddesses, that there's one God or one life force that underlies all of that. In Christianity, though, and I hope I'm being understandable with this, in Christianity, though, we have an interpretation of God that is completely unique and completely different from all the other religions of the world, because we believe biblically that God is made up of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that these three are one God. There is only one God comprised of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Only in Christianity do you find that. Now, in Hinduism, there is the belief of over 330 million gods. In Islam, there's another extreme. You have such a belief in the oneness of God that they teach in Islam that one of the worst sins you can commit is a sin called shirk, S-H-I-R-K. Which is attributing divinity to anyone or anything other than God. And so Hinduism is the absolute opposite of Islam. And according to that belief in Islam, we are heretics and idolaters for saying that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. So no one could say that the Brahman Brahman in Hinduism is the ultimate life force that flows through everything, is the same as Allah in Islam or the Lord Jesus Christ in Christianity. Because when you define the nature of God in all three of those religions, you've got three completely different definitions. Now, there are many Hindus who sincerely love God. There are many Muslims who sincerely love God. I loved God before I knew God. But just because I loved God and just because I worshiped God did not mean I understood the unique nature of God. That's why Jesus told the woman at the well, you worship you know not what. In other words, you are a worshiper, but you don't have a correct comprehension of the nature of God. And so it is absolutely illogical to say there is only one God, and to group the Muslim definition, the Hindu definition, the Sikh definition, and all the other religions of the world, because they all define God differently. And I have, I have a couple more minutes to expand on that?
I want to see if we can tie it to this part here, and I'm hoping that there is a connection with what I'm going to say next. Because in your book, I'm using some of these words from your book, where you talk about having a soul-to-soul connection that you feel. So I'm asking, what is a soul-to-soul connection you feel with those who are seeking ultimate reality? The reason I ask that is because you make this the distinction between Christianity, the Christian God, and in this case, the Hindu God. I want to find out from you, how do we integrate this in the form of reaching someone who is Hindu or is of a different faith to bring them to God?
Well, Jesus. That is so important. Thank you so much for leading me that direction, Danny. Because, see, when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus, my mind fought against it because I had that idea that all religions were leading to the same place. And so I thought it was contrary to my own logic to actually ask Jesus to come into my heart. So it was a big stumbling block to me intellectually. And what I would urge anyone to do, if there's a Hindu or a New Ager or a yoga advocate listening to this interview, I would urge you to do what I did. I was a truth seeker, and I humbly and sincerely prayed, and I said, I don't really understand the idea of you being the only way, Jesus, but if you did die on the cross for the sins of humanity, and if you did rise again from the dead, and if you are the only way to eternal life, then come into my heart. I surrender to you. I give my life to you. And he did. And when I said that, for the very first time in my life, I had a personal encounter with the personal God of the universe, not an impersonal life force, a cosmic energy, but the personal God who exists apart from physical creation. And anyone who will humble themselves to at least open their hearts up to the possibility that Jesus is uniquely different, he will come to them. He said he would manifest himself to those who love him, and that that whoever calls upon his name would be saved and would be delivered. And let me add to the thought that I was sharing a few moments ago that there are different ideas concerning the nature of the solar system. In the second century, Ptolemy said that the Earth was the center of the solar system and the sun revolved around the Earth. 1,000 years later, Copernicus came along and said, no, the sun is at the center and the Earth revolves around the sun. They both cannot be right simultaneously. And one of the traditional things people say now is you can have your truth and I can have my truth and we can both be right because truth is relative. Well, I contend that truth is objective, that whether Ptolemy believed the Earth was in the center of the solar system or not was irrelevant, because the objective truth was that the sun was in the center of the solar system. They both believed in the same solar system. They were both trying to define the same solar system, but one idea was right at the expense of the other idea being wrong. And there are many people of many religions that are trying to define the same thing, the God that brought creation into existence. And there's only one correct interpretation of the nature of God and the plan of salvation. And that doesn't mean that we are harshly putting others down, but quite the contrary, it means that we are lovingly reaching out saying, we found it, we found it. And you can too. And it's our joy to share Jesus with others.
Mike Shreve, you can find out more about Pastor Mike, his ministry, Shreve Ministries. That's S-H-R-E-V-E, ShreveMinistries.org. When we come back in our final moments with Mike, we'll talk about, well, maybe on a more personal note. Of course, this is all very, very deep within his heart. Really within his gut, but challenges. Maybe you're facing a challenge today. The Lord in his grace can work through some of the things that we go through in our lives, and it can relate with you, and your experience can relate with us. Maybe a favorite scripture that Pastor Mike has, perhaps at this particular time in his life and ministry, and perhaps a time of prayer with Pastor Mike when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Mike Shreve's book, 65 Promises from God to Your Child, was number one on Amazon.com in the genre of charismatic Pentecostal books during the year of its release. He's also conducted large-scale crusades, evangelistic meetings in India, Nigeria, Liberia, Costa Rica, Haiti, the Bahamas, Barbados, Jamaica, and the Cayman Islands. He's with us today, Mike Shreve. You can find out more at Mike Shreve, Shreve Ministries, ShreveMinistries.org. Mike, I'm going to ask you a question about, on a deeply more personal note about difficulties or challenges, maybe a challenge recently that the Lord has helped you through. And if you could share a little bit about that. But before that, Suzanne has a question.
Thank you, Danny. A couple of questions. I have friends who are really committed Christians that say they do yoga, but they don't do any mantra. They don't relate it to religion in any way. They're just doing stretching exercises. A couple of schools here, Christian schools that are teaching yoga to students, but they say it has nothing to do with the Hindu religion. What are your thoughts, Pastor Mike?
Well, even right there in Hawaii, you have a center of Hinduism on the island of Kauai. And I have actually spent time with the man who's in charge of that. It's like a monastery or a place where Hindus live communally. And he has made a statement himself that you cannot separate yoga from Hinduism. You cannot separate yoga from Hinduism. And I actually have a small booklet that I offer on my website, and it's also on Amazon, as all my books are, called 7 Reasons I No Longer Practice Hatha Yoga. Let me preface it by saying there is a possibility that a person can do just the physical exercises and not endanger themselves spiritually in any way. However, there are so many negatives associated with it. I urge people not to do it. I have people call me from all around the world, desperate for prayer, because they began having what is called a kundalini awakening, spontaneous awakenings of the kundalini, which is actually demon possession, as a result of attending yoga classes. And in some cases, they were actively involved in meditation. In other cases, they were not. What is this thing called the kundalini? The word kundalini actually means serpent power. Now, as a Christian, I know what the serpent represents. But in New Age circles, the serpent represents esoteric wisdom. It doesn't have a negative connotation. However, in yoga, the teaching, trying to simplify it as much as I can, the teaching in Eastern religions is that through meditation, this indwelling power called the serpent power is awakened within you, and it travels up through these energy centers they call the chakras, and then merges with your crown chakra and carries you out into God consciousness. Well, that is not the true experience of God, and yet it's the promised outcome of yoga. And it's a very dangerous thing to tinker with. I urge Christians to stay away from it. There are good Christian alternatives. I know the leaders of two different groups. One is called praisemoves.com. The other one, Holy Fit, W-H-O-L-Y, holyfit.org. And they offer great Christian alternatives, a similar kind of exercise regimen with no connection to Eastern religions.
Thank you so much.
Mike, difficulties, and thanks for answering that. How has the Lord helped you recently through challenging times?
Well, if I could reduce that to an answer that covers a lot of situations,
yes.
I would say I have learned the power of the promises of God. I know that one of the worst things my wife and I faced recently is when she was 5 months pregnant with our daughter. The doctor took us in the room where he showed us the screen where the ultrasound was. He showed us a dark spot at the base of her spine and said she had spina bifida, and showed us a blood report and said she had cretinism, which is severe retardation. And then, even knowing we were ministers, I was quite appalled. He even suggested abortion. And we jumped up to leave his office. We didn't want to be around that kind of mindset. And as we left his office, God spoke to my wife audibly and said, "Your daughter will dance on the streets of Jerusalem." The doctor just said she would never walk, and God said she would dance. For the next 4 months, we claimed the promises of God. We would lay hands on my wife's stomach area, on her womb, and we would pray over and over again, Psalm 138, verse 8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." And we would say, "Little baby, you concern me," so we declared that you are perfect. And when she was born 4 months later, that's exactly what the officiating doctor said. As she came out of the womb, he said, "She's perfect," not knowing that that's exactly what we prayed for 4 months. We prayed a promise of God. And I urge people not to pray the problems, pray the promises, because I've seen it happen over and over again in my own life personally. I wrote a book, as you mentioned a while ago, called 65 Promises from God for Your Child. There's 65 things God says he will do for your child because of your relationship with him. And most parents, when they pray for their children, they pray the problems. They remind God of what's going wrong. It's far more powerful to pray the promises. And so that's one particular situation where we claimed God's promises. He said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, speak to the mountain and say, 'Be removed,' and it will obey your voice." And that's exactly what we did. We spoke to that mountain of that problem that had come in our lives, and God moved it out of the way and worked a miracle.
Pastor Mike, we've got a couple minutes left. A parting shot to someone who's facing their own difficult moment as we speak. A word of encouragement and a prayer. Would you lead in a prayer, please?
Well, I don't care what a person could be facing. Nothing in life, nothing, no matter how painful, no matter how disappointing, no matter how hurtful it may be, is worth giving up. Because Jesus said, I am the beginning and the end. And when you come to the end, he's standing there saying, I am the beginning. And he always can give a new beginning of hope and life. I pray for my cousin who was a heroin addict, and he was delivered immediately and never went through withdrawals. It looked like the end. He'd lost everything. He'd lost his corporate job, his wife, his children, his home, his health. And yet he came to the end, and Jesus said, I am the beginning. So I'm going to pray that for whoever might be listening today. Father, there may be somebody in the sound of my voice who thinks they've come to the end of what life can give to them. The peace that they thought they once had may have disappeared altogether. They may feel like they've come to the end mentally and emotionally or even spiritually. They failed so miserably. How could they ever get back up and start again? But Jesus, you are always there, and you never, never give up on anyone. You said no one who comes to you will be cast away. And I thank you for accepting that person who is inclining his heart towards you. And if someone listening to this broadcast just says, Jesus, help me. Jesus, come to my rescue. Come into my heart. I surrender to you. It can be the beginning of a brand new life. And I thank you for bringing that to pass for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for your time today sharing your heart with us.
Well, it's been much of a privilege. And let me mention, if any of your listeners have questions or they don't really understand something that I said or need clarification on some issues, they can always go to my website, as you so graciously mentioned so many times, shreveministries.org, and just email me from the website. I receive all those emails personally. To the best of my ability, I respond personally to every email we receive at shreveministries.org, and I'd be very glad to help them on their journey through this life.
Powerful, heartfelt words from Mike Shreve, shreveministries.org. Dear friend, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus, just as Pastor Mike has, with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, we believe this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a message for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Hebrews 1 verse 3, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Mike Shreve, shreveministries.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.